Okay, if you would stand with me and turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. And we're going to be mostly in Philippians and Romans today, so there won't be a lot of jumping around and etc. But Philippians 4, 4 through 7, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to bring forth your word. Let my words be your words. And I thank you if there's anything to be learned that we learned from it. I know I did as I was preparing this. Thank you for each person here. And you know them better than they know themselves. And you care more about them than they care about themselves. So let them know that they can just rest in you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, give a little background. You see me walk with a cane. That's been one of the hardest adjustments for me to make. I grew up an athlete. In my 40s, it wasn't uncommon for me to ride a bicycle 300 miles a week, sometimes 400. Did half marathons and marathons. We rode bicycles from San Francisco Golden Gate Bridge to the Coronado Bay Bridge in San Diego down the Pacific Coast Highway. But things changed. They changed a lot. I didn't bring my phone up. I was going to read a text message, but I remember what it said. And I don't need it. Dear friend reached out to me on Monday and says, "How are you feeling?" And I said, "Doing good, except I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated that one more thing is going wrong with me." And then I apologized to him later because that was kind of a downer thing to do to somebody. But you know what? He wouldn't have asked me if he didn't want to know. So I told him. So this message is born out of that conversation. All right? So every time I go for a procedure, they always go through your health record. And when they do that, I think I should be 95 years old with all the things. So this is my health record. I'm not going to read everything on it, but just to give you an idea, there's 12 boxes on each page. Now, you guys in front might be able to read some of this stuff, but that's not the issue is not that. So there's page number one. There's 12 boxes. There's page number two. Oh, this one actually has 13 boxes on it. And then page three has one box. How many is that added up? That's 29 different things. Frustration because things aren't going the way that you want them to, whether it's health-wise or, you know, whatever. And it's really a big change for me, and I've learned to now ask for help. And Lisa can attest that in the early days when a lot of this was going on, I would never ask for help. And then sometimes I'd injure myself or something would happen, and she'd always yell at me out of love. The only time she yells at me is out of love. I don't know that that's always true when I'm reciprocating. All right, so verse 4 said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." Now, The reason I responded to that message the way that I did is because I was feeling sorry for myself. Anybody ever feel sorry for yourself? Yeah, it happens sometimes, and it can be many, many different circumstances that put you in that position where you're feeling sorry for yourself. Now, a little background on this. Paul's chained in prison, probably chained to a Roman guard, and he's writing this letter. And he said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be made known to everyone. The Lord is at hand." Okay, what if I don't feel like rejoicing? Does it say rejoice if you feel like it? No. What do we have that we can rejoice in? I'm a child of God. That's the number one thing that I can rejoice in. And God loves me, and God calls me, and I answered that call. That's one great thing that we can rejoice in. And we rejoice in, you know, the little victories along the way, and sometimes they're big victories. I went to the dermatologist every 6 months. And then I go, and they say, "Well, you've got a thing on the back of your head that looks kind of funny, and it's really aggressive." So they did a biopsy. And when I got the phone call that said, "Steve, it's melanoma, and it's aggressive," freaked me out. But then I spent some time in the Word and got beyond that. And some of you have seen it, so you know how big it is. I went to an appointment a week ago to the surgeon, and he said, "If I had gone any deeper, I would have been at your skull." And it's also about 4 inches in diameter. And for something like that to come up in 6 months, so they had to do a biopsy of a lymph node, and thank God, everything came back negative. That's something to rejoice in. You know, I've seen so many things happen, you know, over time. But yet at this one point, I went in for a minor procedure, and they did a blood test, and then they come back, and this is what got it all started for me feeling sorry for myself, was they said, "Now you got a low thyroid." Well, that answered a lot of questions for me on, you know, some things that were going on that I was seeing some of the side effects. But, you know, my whole idea was, "Lord, when's it going to stop?" You guys ever feel like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, when's it ever going to stop? It'll stop the day I die. And you know what? Tomorrow I could be healed of all, how many did I say it was? 29 could be healed of all of them. You wouldn't have any trouble getting me to rejoice at that one. And then it says, "Give thanks in all things." It's not easy to give thanks when you've got things going on and things aren't going well in your life and, you know, troubles. It doesn't say if you feel like it. It just says. And if the first case was rejoice, and I just talked about thanks. In verse 6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything." You could also substitute and say, "Don't worry about anything." And, you know, my dad had a lot of sayings. Some of them I can't repeat. But he says, "Steve, don't worry, because worry is like paying interest on a loan you don't own, you don't owe, or paying interest on a debt you don't owe." And that's what worry does. But it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." Those things that tend to make me worry or to make me look inside instead of outside are probably the things I need to pray about the most. And there's not anybody sitting here that can't say that there's some concern. You know, it can be a very small concern. So is it too small to pray about it? What do you think? No. It says, in everything with prayer and supplication, let your request be made known to God. And once I pray about anything, I need to just trust God that he's going to take care of it. And Ralph said earlier today that you don't always get the results you want, or God taking care of it may not be the way you want it taken care of. But I said earlier that he cares more about you than you care about yourself. You know, I thank God that he's in control of the circumstances that surround me. There's three aspects of prayer that were mentioned here. Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And, you know, in prayer time, and Lisa and I were talking a little bit about this morning before we came to church. And I said, you know, a lot of times in prayer, what's really important is not what you say to God, but what he says to you. And that's probably the more important part. And, you know, somebody told me recently that, you know, I don't know that I've ever heard, and this is a Christian guy, says, I don't know that I've ever heard from God. And I said, well, have you ever prayed about something and then you were inspired to do it? And you had great results from that? Well, yeah. Well, it was God that inspired you. Our prayer needs to be a dialogue, back and forth, back and forth. So the title of my teaching was actually a prescription for woe is me. And it's my prescription because I needed to hear this. And chances are, if I needed to hear this, some of you guys need to hear it. Yeah, I am convinced that what God has to say to me is far more important than what I have to say to him. So I'm going to read verse 6 again and then go to verse 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And then verse 7 starts with and. And in the context, you could say, and if you do this, you know, verse 6. So, and if you do this, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Have you ever known somebody that there was just turmoil completely around them, yet they were totally at peace? That's acting out on what God has to say. And also, God says that in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made of God, be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Does it say, and it might? Or you might get the peace of God? Mm-mm. It says, if you do 6, verse 7 is going to happen. And that's comforting. That's something that we can rejoice in. And, you know, Ralph spoke earlier about the search committee and the time that we were, you know, looking for a pastor. And, you know what we did? I'd say just about every single time we prayed a bunch before meeting. And a lot of times Ralph would share something inspirational to us. But there was a lot of praying going on. There's a lot of praying going on, as he talked about, in those different prayer groups that are happening. And I really urge you, if you get the opportunity, participate in one. Does peace have to be an emotional thing? I'd be interested in what you guys have to say about that. You know, I think somewhat it is, but our peace is not predicated on our emotions. I used to coach high school football in Alabama, and I worked with two different head coaches. One was bouncing off the walls. I mean, you know, in a game, I didn't even know how he could keep track of the score or even who was in there. And then I worked with another person that you couldn't tell if you were ahead or you were behind. Yet both had good results. And, you know, that's what I think about, you know, when there's everything's going on around you and having a peace. And yes, you can be emotional that it bothers you. Is there anything wrong with telling God that something bothers you? No, you know, David used to get mad at God. And when something bothers you, generally a lot of times there's going to be some emotions involved in that. We're going to talk about something else that we can rejoice in. Now we're going to go into Romans chapter 8. And go to verse 31, please. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? What's the answer to that question? You guys can say it if you want. No one. No one. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So when I was feeling sorry for myself and, you know, I've got, you know, all these physical things going on, and don't anybody feel sorry for me. That's not the whole intent behind this. You know, it's just for a point of reference. Are those things going to separate me from the love of God? No. What about my attitude? Still doesn't separate me from the love of God. I may not feel it, though. I may not have that peace that passes all understanding. So rejoice, and again I say rejoice. Okay, we're going back to Philippians chapter 4 in verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What have you learned and received and heard and seen in me do? Practice these things, and the God of what? Peace will be with you. You know, Philippians is a pretty cool book. It's encouragement. You know, an awful lot of encouragement. Now, Randy taught, I don't know, 6 or 8 weeks ago in Romans 12. You guys remember that? I do. So go to Romans 12, chapter 1. I'm sorry, Romans 12, verse 1. That's like 17 chapters in Mark. It says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Now, verse 2, where he spent a lot of time on it, says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That word transformed is a Greek word metamorpho, and we get the word metamorphosis from it. And do you know that a lot of caterpillars, before they turn into butterflies, are actually very dangerous and very poisonous? I bet you guys ran into that from time to time when you were in, what's that?
The jungle.
Yes, in the jungle. I was having a senior moment there. I have a lot of those, by the way, because I'm a senior. It reminds me, I'm sorry, it's a little off base, but you guys appreciate this. I was visiting my dad in Alabama, and he was sent to the grocery store, and there were 4 items he was supposed to get. And he came back with 4 items, but only 3 of them were the correct, and the 4th one that was important, he didn't bring. And my mom had passed away many years before that, and he had remarried. So Jewel said to him, well, Art, why didn't you bring any milk? And he says, well, I'm 84, and I'm supposed to forget things. You know, so anyway, that's what you've got to look forward to, folks. And I'm not even close to 84 yet. But anyway, it says, do not be transformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Does any of that sound familiar? Let me see. Philippians 4, 8 said, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. So that whole process of renewing your mind, what do you renew it to? And that's where you find those things that are worthy, acceptable, and et cetera. Now, another thing that probably one of the number one enemies that make us go, woe is me. And it was something I fought for a long time. Go to Romans chapter 8. And now we're in verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. Who wrote Romans?
Paul.
And before he was Paul, what was his name?
Saul.
And when he was Saul, what was his number one occupation? Persecuting Christians. You know, it'd be like now if I was Paul standing up in front of you guys, and in my past as Saul, you know, I'd tie you up to the bumper of my pickup truck and drag you to Boise. I mean, you know, those kind of things. He did some awful, cruel things to Christians. And then what does he say here? There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Now, don't you think the adversary would go, do you see that guy on the front row? You killed his sister. How can you say there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus? and you see that person in the back, you had them beaten. And how could he say, there's therefore now no condemnation that are in Christ Jesus? So if you're going through phases where you're in self-condemnation, you really should claim this verse. Now, there's some other things that go along with that. I mean, if Paul was still dragging a behind a pickup truck to Boise, then that's a whole different story, probably a reprobate mind instead of understanding who he was in Christ Jesus. So how many of you ever done something that you were sorry for? And how many of you it was just because you got caught? How many of you had genuine sorrow because you hurt somebody? Yeah. And those are the things that eat at us and come at us. 1 John 1:9, I have it up there. It says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's going to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Now, 1 John was written to believers. I can remember a good friend of mine, and he believed that he was forgiven of all of his sins, past, present, and future, so he didn't have to do this. He said, well, that's written to the unbeliever. The next verse after that, 1 John 1:9, we're not going to go to it, but it says, if anybody says he doesn't sin, he deceives himself. And I've really held on to 1 John 1:9 many times. Now, if I confess my sins, God's faithful and just to forgive me my sins, but what if I keep doing that sin over and over? He still forgives me, but in order to open that pipeline with God, we need to, you guys hear me talk about this just about every single time I give a message. There's that R word called repent. Repent's mentioned over 55 times in the New Testament. And Lisa and I were listening to something this morning, and it was absolutely beautiful. It was a Greek scholar who wrote a page, it probably was a page and a half on what repent means. Okay, repent is an intellectual decision that you decide you're going to change, but the intellect of it is not enough. What's the other part of that? You got to change. You know, you got to make that 180 degree turn. And I think you heard me say one time I misspoke and said 360 degree turn, which would kind of put us right back where we were. But repenting, turning from it, going a completely, totally different direction from it. Now, I've been talking mostly so far to believers. You know, those who are in Christ Jesus, those who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that believe that he was the Son of God and that he raised him from the dead, and as we confess that and agreed with it, and then made Jesus the Lord of their lives. Happened to me when I was 17 years old. And this is one reason I want you guys to invite somebody. The very, very first time I heard the gospel, I accepted Christ. I kind of knew about it, but didn't know it specific. You never know. Some people, it takes them years. But I was in a situation where what those guys shared with me, I needed to hear it, and I made that decision. Best decision I ever made in my life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Anybody know what the next verse says? Okay. And then Romans 5:8 says, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ hung on a cross and he said, Father, forgive them. He was tortured and beaten in ways that we can't even appreciate it. It was so bad that you couldn't even recognize him. And yet, God forgave those and forgives those that actually did that to him. You know, in our prayer group on Thursdays, you know, we prayed a lot for Jim Welch and Real Restoration, where they're getting individuals out of sex trafficking. But you know who else we pray for? Those that are making them do it. Those that are doing those evil, awful things to these ladies, we pray for them too. You know, because their salvation is just as important to God as the girls that have been abused. Now, I'm just about out of time here. If you want to come up, Tristan. And while they're coming up, I just want to tell you that Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. If you're in a situation where you're troubled by something, if you've got self-condemnation or fill in the blank, my biggest issue has been, you know, the health stuff. You know, and having my life changed so dramatically. But, you know, it can be anything. And what might not be important to me might be the most important thing to you in the world. So if you'd like prayer for that, you can come down. We'll have ushers elders that will come up and chat with you. Or if you haven't made a decision to follow Christ, this is definitely an opportunity for you. I will tell you, nobody's here by accident. You're sitting exactly where you're supposed to be at 11:58 on the 26th of March, 2023 in Nampa, Idaho. So go ahead and start if you would.